We're going to read verses 21 through 26, breaking into Paul's extended analogy of the church as a body. And we do so as a continuation of our series of sermons on the one another passages of the New Testament so that we can be instructed in what it is to be members of Jesus' church or of his body, as Paul speaks of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So then, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 21, reading through to verse 26, and rejoicing to hear the word of our God. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this evening that you would be with us as we come to your word and to your table. We come as those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we thank you for the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus, so graciously granted to us. But we remember also that you call us to be a holy people, and so we pray that we might learn from your word how to live the life that you require of us. So we pray that you would be our teacher this evening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, care for one another. Paul doesn't actually give that to us as a command, but rather as a description of how things ought to be in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. The members are to have the same care for one another. Paul, you remember, is talking about the church, and he's using the analogy of a body. And Paul now in verse 25 says that the members of Jesus' church, the parts of Jesus' body, are to care for one another. In other words, your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And right there is the very basis and foundation for everything of which Paul speaks. Your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus does not end there. Your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus brings you into interpersonal relationships with the people of God. It is not enough for you to say it's all about Jesus and me. And of course, that's what we often hear in our contemporary society, that our knowledge of the Lord Jesus is something that's private and personal. The Bible says, yes, you need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, but the reality of that relationship remains in question until you show yourself to be one who has a heart for the people of God. And Paul says rich network of interpersonal relationships should be devoid of partiality and should be expressed in mutual care. You are to care for one another. And as Paul writes to the Corinthians, and as Paul reminds them that they are to care for one another, you'll remember the context in which Paul gives us these words. It comes in the context of a table address. You know what that is in our Reformed heritage? A table address is the instruction that's given to the congregation of Jesus as the people of God prepare to sit around the table of the Savior. It's a communion address. It's communion instruction. And Paul is writing to people in the context of teaching them about the Lord's Supper. He's instructing them on how to come properly to the table of the Lord Jesus. And as he does so, he says, brothers and sisters, you are to care for one another. People who come properly to the table of the Lord Jesus are to be caring for one another. They are to be in communion, not in competition, because that was sadly, tragically, and ironically what was happening in Corinth. The congregation there was fragmented. There was sectarian divisions among them. There were rivalries. Paul writes in chapter 11, verse 18, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. They're coming together around the table of the Lord Jesus, by which they identify themselves as the church of Christ. And Paul says, I hear there are divisions among you. And over and against that sorry report of divisions, Paul says, care for one another. And I want to follow in Paul's footsteps and echo the admonition that Paul gives to the Corinthians this evening. Paul wants the Corinthians to revisit some things they should already know very well. He wants them to revisit some things regarding the composition of the body of which they're members. He wants to address them regarding the conservation of the body of which they're a part, and he speaks to them about the communion of the body of which they are members. And so first of all, I'm looking at verses 24 and 25. First of all, Paul speaks in verse 24 about the composition of the body. And yes, Paul is using the body as a metaphor for the church. The members of the body are other Christians. And Paul says in verse 24, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. The body is a body that has been composed by God himself. We might sometimes wonder at the people that God chooses to be a part of the body of Christ. And if it were left to us to choose those who would be our fellow members of Christ's body, we might choose otherwise. But Paul reminds us, God is the one who chooses those who are redeemed in the Lord Jesus. God is the one who chooses the rich mix of diverse individuals that make up a congregation in Corinth or in Silver Spring, in the Corinthian churches or at Knox. It's God who shapes the body. God composes the body. And Paul says, God esteems those who might otherwise be despised. And of course, the Corinthians had such a hierarchical mindset. We are better than they are. I'm better than you are. Our group is superior to your group. Paul says God so constitutes the body in such a way as to remind us that God esteems highly those who are different from us and those whom we might be inclined to despise and look down on. It's good for us to remember that when Paul uses the metaphor of the body, Paul actually is not, he's not making this up. Paul's using a metaphor that occurs elsewhere in the literature and in the rhetoric of his day. It was a common feature of the work of political speechwriters and orators to speak of the body, speaking of society as a body made up of members. That was common. Paul's Corinthian readers would have been familiar with the idea of a community being made up of members. But Paul takes the imagery and turns it on his head, because in Paul's day, the politicians and the speechwriters used that image in order to say, we're the head, you're the feet, we're in charge, you're subservient to us. And Paul says, no, in the church we're members of one body, but we're not to look down on our fellow members. We're not to assume that we are superior to them, that we're better to them in any way. Rather, we recognize that God brings us together as a diverse group. And so even people who might be looked down in our society are to be esteemed and honored as brothers and sisters calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. People who might be marginalized in society are to be welcomed into the fellowship of the people of God. We are to care for one another. And of course, we take our cue from the Lord Jesus, the one who was very compassionate toward those who were marginalized, towards those who were looked down on, towards the people groups that were despised, the Gentiles, the children, the woman. And Jesus held them in such high regard as to completely overturn the common idea of what it meant to, of how people thought of a body, where those who considered themselves to be the head looked down on others. Paul says, God constitutes the body of Jesus, and God God gives honor to those who otherwise would lack it. And so we recognize the work of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit delights to create a body that is richly diverse. Like the artist who takes the different colors in her palette and blends those primary colors with the other perhaps less prominent colors on the color wheel and uses them to produce a breathtaking work of art. And the richness of it lies in the diversity of the various colors and hues going into it. Oh yes, the church has those who are out in front who are gifted in conspicuous ways, but Paul reminds us that we're not to hold in any less regard those whose gifts are perhaps less conspicuous or less well-developed or seemingly less useful. And you know, you go around from congregation to congregation and you recognize that as God brings his people together as congregations of his true church, those congregations have a different... There's a different atmosphere, different flavors, the different house blends that God creates using the diversity of members that he brings together. And Paul says, you're to care for one another. He reminds us that God has brought us together. That's the reason why we care for one another. And Paul goes on to talk about the conservation of the body, because this rich diversity is to be protected. It's to be cared for. Of course, the idea of conservation is something that's been introduced into our thinking and into our vocabulary. Those tracts of land that otherwise we might have tramped through carelessly or heedlessly, now we're reminded that those are delicate ecosystems. They're fragile environments. They're to be treated with respect. They're to be dealt with gently and carefully. Paul says God brings together the members of his body as a rich spiritual ecosystem that's to be carefully conserved and protected. You see, Paul draws an unexpected conclusion. He talks about the diversity that exists in the body. And then the conclusion that he draws from that is that as we recognize that God created diversity, we're to see to it that there be no division in the body. That's what he talks about in when he says to us at the beginning of verse 25, recognize the way in which God has created the body, giving honor to those who otherwise would have lacked it, so that there be no division in the body. There's not to be groups, there's not to be cliques, there's not to be partisanship, none of those things. We're to recognize and protect the diversity that God has created. It's a precious diversity. It is a sweet diversity, and yes, it's a fragile diversity. We need to care for one another. Paul talks about there not being division in the body, and of course we're so familiar with the metaphor. We think of the church and we think of people coming and going, the person who comes and they're around for a while and then they disappear. Where have they gone? What happened? And we're tempted to think very easily, well, they're members and they're neither not members, and we think maybe of computer components, plug and play, plug them in, take them out, and they're gone. But Paul's talking about a body. If you lose a body part, that really affects how you live. And that's what Paul has in mind here. He's not talking about a kind of painless, easy separation. He's talking about a body that's the dangers of the body being rent and torn, division in the body. Paul's witnessed that in Corinth. It's a painful thing. Members in the Corinthian congregation have been hurt. They've been caused pain. They've been mistreated. They've been despised. They've been abused. And it hurts. It's painful. It's like a body part being torn off. We might think of the member being surgically. Think of roadkill. It's something that's painful. It's grotesque. Paul says, don't mutilate the body of Christ. Care for one another. Don't let there be division in the body. And brothers and sisters, the spiritual ecosystem, the spiritual environment that God creates, bringing together all the kind of people who are here tonight, that's precious and it's fragile. Care for one another. Be compassionate toward one another. Be sensitive to one another. Don't mistreat them. Don't speak ill of them. Don't be critical of them. Don't be judgmental. Don't ignore them. Care for them. Remember Jesus saying to his disciples, whoever receives you receives me. We welcome one another. We welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. So the king speaking to the group in Matthew, in Jesus' parable in Matthew 25, where in verse 40 the king says, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The diversity of the body is to be cherished. It's to be carefully conserved. It's to be protected. See to it that you do that. And Paul talks about the communion of the body then as he goes on into the latter part of verse 25. There may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. It's not surprising that our response to the God-created diversity is that we seek not to cause division, but rather that we have care for one another. And the word that Paul uses for care at the end of verse 25, it's a word that has the idea of preoccupation. We're to be preoccupied with one another. It's a word that almost has the idea of being distracted. Now, we get distracted about our own needs and how our needs are to be met. Paul says, care for one another. Be preoccupied. Be interested in the needs of others. It's the idea that Paul has in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, where he says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, because in doing so you have the mind of Christ. Be preoccupied with the needs of others. See to it that you make it your business to care for them, to find ways to serve them. It's the same word that Paul, the same language that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 7, where he talks about the lawful and proper preoccupation that spouses have with each other. A husband is to be preoccupied with the needs and care of his wife. A wife is to be preoccupied with loving and caring for her husband. And they're deeply invested in that relationship because they care for one another. And yes, because they are one flesh with one another. And Paul says, brothers and sisters, care for one another as members of the body of Christ. And you'll remember how Paul, using that marriage analogy then in Ephesians chapter 5, says in the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Care for your brothers and sisters. Their spiritual welfare is going to be a blessing to you. That's what Paul's getting at when he uses the marriage illustration. Your spouse's welfare, your spouse's prosperity is going to redound to your own good. And Paul says, care for one another. The health, the spiritual prosperity of your brothers and sisters is going to redound to your own spiritual welfare. And so we have questions that we can ask. Who's weak? Who's insignificant? Those are ones that we're to care for. Those are ones we're to look out for. Whose gifts and services seem to be inconspicuous? Those ones are to be highly regarded for their faithful service in the name of the Lord Jesus. Who's being ignored? Who's sitting by himself or standing by herself? Am I caring for that person? Who seems to have passed the prime of their usefulness? Do I care for that person? Do I esteem them highly for their faithful service to the Lord Jesus? Do I regard them highly for their godly example? Who are the needy ones in the congregation that require special care? The early church fathers believed that the church needed to have members that required special care, members with special needs, if you like, although they wouldn't have used that language, because if the church didn't have needy members, then the church wouldn't be able to serve like the Lord Jesus, because Jesus serves needy people, and we should welcome the opportunity to care for one another, serving one another, and so reflecting the care of Jesus for us. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of your truth. We pray that it would fall not just upon our ears, but into our hearts. And we pray that it would bring forth a rich and sweet harvest to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus.